Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Panning the Stream. My name is Dan Reichert.
And I'm Bianca Reichert.
She's just getting right down to it. Well, the reason you're thrown off is because you're doing the Bird Box Challenge. You're currently blindfolded. So you're a little thrown off. It's kind of hard to do.
It's really hard to podcast with the blindfold on. I'm surprised they left that out of the film. I feel like that should have been included.
I know. We're just bumping into stuff. We've been falling out of our chairs for the last 10 minutes as we've been getting set up.
Yeah, just sitting comfortably and talking about a movie blindfolded is tough to do.
Yeah. That movie is Bird Box, which we watched recently. And we watched after hearing just everywhere. All of a sudden, everybody was talking about this movie. It came out on Netflix, and you start seeing these like news reports and everything that are like, oh, Netflix is the biggest thing ever. It's 45 million accounts watched it in the first 7 days.
Yeah, I think this was just a product of genius marketing on the part of the Netflix people. I mean, because there were memes about it. Like, the only reason we watched it is because we heard so much about it.
You know, I've heard there are so many memes and stuff around this movie, but I have not seen any
Neither
of them.
Neither have I.
But
I haven't
also
seen any either.
I don't get what could be, like, meme-like about it. Is it the blindfold challenge
I think
thing?
No, I think, well, that is now part of it, but I think it was something like, you can't see. I don't know. I did like a very cursory Google for it, and I couldn't really get any solid answers, and I didn't feel like digging further.
Well, it sounds like the Twitter kids were really into it even before it came out, and that must have helped.
Totally. And beyond that, I mean, there's just been a huge marketing push as far as like it's on buses, it's on, you know, bus stops, other forms of transit.
Air private planes.
On top of taxis.
Yeah, it turns out that, like, the horror genre, but not, like, hard, serious horror, like
the horror genre?
Horror!
Oh, okay.
There's an O-R at the end.
The horror genre is my favorite genre.
That's
a
whole different genre.
It tends to be very hard and serious.
It does. It absolutely is. Some of it's jaunty and fun. So, yeah, I find that this stuff, like this genre, is extremely palatable mainstream-wise. Like, the reason I heard of this movie was my sister told me about it, and she is very into all the, like, the Paranormal Activities and all the whatever the spooky October movie of the year is.
Right.
And not necessarily like the Saw or the Hostel, like the torture porn stuff, but more just the like, ooh, spooky, scary stuff. And sure enough, she loved this movie. She told me over Christmas break how much she liked it. And that led to me seeing it everywhere before we finally decided to watch it.
Yeah. I mean, with horror movies, and you could talk about your experience with them as well. For me, I find that especially if it's something that someone's like, oh, this is so scary, you have to watch it, I'm never scared by it. It's like, for instance, It.
Yeah.
Like, when we saw that, it was just, I just watched it plainly. Like, there's no, anything that is like jump scares, it's just, it does nothing for me. The only type of media that is horror that affects me is horror video games.
Yeah, yeah. Like, because you have to do something about it.
Right.
Like, it's when you have, when you can just sit back and just take it in passively. Like,
right.
I never really feel any, unless it's Event Horizon. If it's Event Horizon, then it is terrible, psychological, scarring, earth-shattering horror.
Yeah, okay. 12-year-old Dan Reichert says that, but you're a man now and you watched it and it didn't even faze you.
I mean, the video is still pretty scary when they're talking. Whenever you're talking in Latin, everything is like times three multiplier to scary.
I don't know.
They were
about
pulling
that.
Their own eyes out.
Dan, it was so ridiculous and over the top. I prefer like a psychological thriller over a, you know, a horror movie.
I tend to as well. Like, I don't think this is really our genre. Outside of you know, our good friend Tim Turry, he's a huge horror aficionado, and we had not seen the Halloween movies. And a couple Halloweens ago, must have been, we were in San Francisco.
Right.
He had us watch Halloween and Halloween 2 back to back, which we really enjoyed. And actually, we saw the new Halloween when that came out a few months ago. I did like that one quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that was good. I mean, I wasn't scared. Again, I wasn't scared watching it. It was more just like a, like, you know, intense, tense movie.
Yeah.
Intense and tense.
Yeah, we're the same in that, like, jump scares. Like it didn't scare me at all. But I really prefer, like, The Shining and The Exorcist.
Mm-hmm.
Shining specifically is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Remember when we went to that midnight showing at the IFC Theater?
That was
so great.
It was, like, rainy night at midnight. That was awesome. But again, it's not like there's no part of it where you get like, oh, no, I jumped out of my seat. It's like, oh, it's creepy and unnerving when that, like, naked old lady is, like, eh, like, walking towards him. And, you know, there's I think we're in agreement here.
Right.
Jump scares don't really get to us. This is definitely, Bird Box is very much in, I think, that mainstream horror, gonna make a lot of money if it was a standard release.
Yes.
Thing. Just hugely successful. Like, mm-hmm. this did not see the theater release. It had a limited run about a week before it started streaming.
I thought I saw it in the theater that I walk by when I go to the gym.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, it did have a limited run. But, like, I do wonder if this had not been on Netflix, if we had seen, if we, and we're going to talk about what the movie's about soon here, but if this had just come out like a standard film, I wonder if this would have been this runaway hit.
Mm. I mean, honestly, I think it was, if it just came out on Netflix, which obviously it has, but it didn't have the marketing campaign. And I think like the guerrilla marketing campaign, like through all the memes and stuff, which that has to be a product of some young, you know, social media person on Netflix that started all that. If it didn't have that, I mean, Netflix has so many original movies that we never talk yeah. about. Like, some of them have big names in them. Like, you know, star, like Sandra Bullock, caliber stars.
I was shocked. I was just scrolling through today. We were going to watch a show on Netflix that we mm-hmm. might be covering soon. Mm-hmm. And I passed by and I was like, there's some movie with Jennifer Aniston in yeah. it. And it's like, that's a huge star. Like,
yeah, yeah. There's a lot that we just never hear of. I mean, so.
I think it's a mix of the marketing, the genre, and the fact that, you know, it's Bullock. It's like John Malkovich. Like, he is usually
I didn't
like
even
this,
know he was going to be in it.
Yeah, he is this. Like prestige, well, prestige and then Con Air, but he's usually like a very prestige actor.
I feel like I've seen him in like really small like character parts.
I'm sure
recently.
He's done some like schlocky stuff, or are you talking about like more like indie, like award show type
more
stuff?
More schlocky, like you're
oh,
saying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's like lowered his standards or whatever.
Maybe.
He seems to have some fun with this role, which I guess let's get down to what Bird Box is here.
So, what did you think? What did you think specifically the Bird Box was going into it? Did you think it was a box of birds?
I honestly went in knowing nothing about it. I don't even think I knew there were blindfolds involved when I
went
into this.
I knew of the blindfolds because of all the marketing had pictures of children and her and Sandra Bullock in a blindfold.
Sandra Bullock and two dumbass kids.
Well, they're not so bad. Come on, they've been through a lot. Cut them some slack. They're fucking
every time
4 years old.
Every time they cut to them, they're doing some dumbass thing. It's like, hey, don't do this thing. Cut back 20 seconds later, they're just doing the thing.
That was
Sorry.
Just one time. That was one time. And she wanted to, she was worried about her mom.
Understandably.
Or whatever, Sandra Bullock.
Yes, understandably. So it starts out with, you find out that there are these mass suicides going on in Europe and Russia. Mm-hmm. And you learn about this with Sandra Bullock, and she's chatting with Sarah Paulson, who is her sister. And Sarah Paulson, I feel like she pops up in everything, but mm-hmm. I can't think of many things where like she is the star. I think I first saw her in that Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip mm-hmm. show, and then I just feel like I've seen her pop up in a million different things. Like, oh yeah, there's Sarah Paulson.
Yeah, she is in a lot of stuff, but she's never like the star, I don't yeah. think. I mean, she has, you know, a pretty prominent role on American Horror Story. She's
oh, okay.
in like every season of that.
Oh, really? I thought
yeah.
that was like an anthology. Is it the
yeah,
same
but
character?
It's got the same actors, but different,
oh, interesting.
They play different characters.
I did
yeah.
not know that. Mm-hmm. She's good. I like her. Mm-hmm. And early on, so basically,
I think I don't know if she's married to or dating the woman who was a professor on Saved by the Bell, the college years.
That is very specific.
I know.
Wait, a professor on, because the college years, oh no, I'm thinking of the new class. Because there was one where Belding and Screech were still back at mm-hmm. the high school. That must be the new class, and the college years clearly college.
Wait, maybe it was like the college president or some. I think it's some. I know she's in Saved by the Bell, the college years.
I did not know that.
Yep.
So early on, we at first they're just kind of seeing these news reports like, oh, people are just going crazy and killing themselves all over
right.
the place. And then all of a sudden, it seems like it descends on America. Mm-hmm. Like it seems like they're in kind of like Bay Area adjacent, like there's a lot of talk of like wine country and mm-hmm. Sausalito and stuff. So it seems like they're kind of like North Bay, San Francisco town or something. Mm-hmm. And everything just goes from like zero to a billion really quick. The first thing you see is this girl at this hospital like banging her head. Oh, Sandra Bullock's pregnant at mm-hmm. this point. And you see this girl at the hospital banging her head into the glass, killing herself. And they go out into the road and everyone's running into like just driving their cars into stuff. You know, one lady just walks into a burning car and burns to death. And I'm trying to think if they had established yet. Like, did Sarah Paulson and Sandra Bullock know that there was a thing you're not supposed to look at?
No one knew about the, like, you can't look at it thing until, like, everyone was in the house and they realized that.
That's right. Because mm-hmm. they're driving in a car. And when we say you can't look at it, it is this kind of unknown. It is the thing that hangs over this whole movie. Mm-hmm. It is, like, kind of hinted at being some sort of like biblical religious creature of some sort that if you see with your eyes mm-hmm. or even through a screen, we find out. You just instantly, like, there's this cool effect they do where the eyes just get, like, I don't know how to describe it. They get, like, mm-hmm. brownish, like, hazelish, like, but even the white parts. And that means that you're pretty much done for at that point. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Sarah Paulson kills herself. She walks in front of a like dump truck or something and gets hit. And that leads to everyone going into Malkovich's house, which he is just this kind of like...
No, it's not his house.
Right. It's the neighbor that he was suing. Right. It's B.D. Wong, the doctor from the first Jurassic Park who had an extremely minor role and then all of a sudden had a super major villain role in Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting. I didn't know there was...
Yeah. He's the guy in the first movie when they're hatching the raptors. Mm-hmm. He is the guy that's like, oh, check it out. We're hatching a raptor. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much his entire contribution to the first movie.
Well, I guess hardcore fans would probably think he's a big deal.
Yeah. He's brought up a lot. And I think he had a bigger role. Well, not him, obviously, but the character, the doctor, was a bigger thing in the books. Mm-hmm. But like, I think there have been instances of games and stuff where like, well, they weren't able to get Sam Neill or Goldblum or Laura Dern. But hey, we got B.D. Wong. So I've only just known him as like the Jurassic Park guy. But... it is his house. Malkovich and him seem to be feuding neighbors and everything. And they've kind of made a haven on short notice here. At this point, there's like, what, 8 people in there or something that have just wound up at the house?
Right.
And Malkovich's wife sees Sandra Bullock on the street and is like, oh, she's pregnant. I got to go help her. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, she sees the thing and she's the one that walks into the burning car. So Malkovich immediately...
Can I just say, I'm just curious. Like, Sandra Bullock is in her mid-50s.
Yes.
And I expressed my confusion to you while we were watching it. I don't know that much about women's anatomy, so I could be wrong here. But she's in her mid-50s. She seems very reluctant to have this child. But to be pregnant in your mid-50s, I imagine you would need some outside assistance. And that requires a lot of effort and a lot of money and a lot of time.
You're talking about like artificial insemination stuff?
Yeah.
Does it not just happen naturally?
Does in vitro fertilization
Does that mean with a wiener?
No, honey. A wiener is like the natural way that...
Oh, then what is it? Is in vitro artificial?
Yeah. You have to like go to a place and...
Yeah. You get doctors involved.
Yeah. So I would assume that a woman in her 50s would need some assistance getting pregnant. And yet, it's just never addressed.
I guess when you brought this up to me when we were watching, my assumption was, let's say Sandra Bullock you looked it up and she's like 53 now or something.
Something around there.
Okay. Well, the present day is this thing we keep flashing to in the movie where the kids are born and she is on a river. Mm-hmm. So let's say that is present day Sandra Bullock. Mm-hmm. The stuff we're seeing with the Malkovich house and stuff is 5 years prior. So we're going to already put her at like 48 here. And also we get some Hollywood fudging around here. Mm-hmm. You know, I think you said you saw some movie where Amy Adams, who's like in her 40s, was playing someone who was 30. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably just a like, meh, whatever, it's fine.
I was just curious about it. And the other thing I wanted to say too that I was thinking about is Sandra Bullock, her character in like the first 15 minutes of the movie before the apocalypse thing happens, is the same character that she played in the movie Ocean's 8.
Oh, really? I did not
see
that.
Same exact character.
Really?
Yeah, just as far as just like totally monotone and detached and just quickie, like witty comebacks for everything. And
really?
Yeah, it's the same exact character.
Is that kind of her MO?
Not really. It was really like obnoxious in Ocean's 8 because it was just like, lighten up, lady.
I think I've only seen her in Speed, in which her defining character trait was, oh God, this bus is going to explode.
You've never seen Miss Congeniality?
Uh-uh.
I've seen that movie so many times.
Yeah.
I feel like I've seen it so many times in like a 3-year period in the early 2000s, and I haven't seen it at all since.
I wonder if it holds up. But is that, was Reese Witherspoon in the second one, or is that a different? No, that's Legally Blonde.
Legally Blonde is really good.
Are they similar things?
No.
No?
No. Miss Congeniality. I think, if I remember correctly, Sandra Bullock is like a policewoman that ends up in this beauty pageant and she dresses up real girly. You know, it's that typical like makeover thing that you saw a lot in the late 90s.
Oh, so is she like hardcore cop, but then she has to pretend to be a beauty queen or something?
Something like that. Gotcha. Yeah. And then have you seen Legally Blonde?
No.
Ooh, it's really good.
Yeah,
I love that movie.
I feel like these movies all came out when I was like a teenage boy, and no teenage boy was seeing these movies.
But Sandra Bullock was also in that movie, Heat, with Melissa McCartney.
Wait, Heat? As in...
It was called Heat. I know.
They just named it the same thing?
I guess, yeah. But I saw it, I want to say maybe in like, maybe it came out in 2012.
I feel like I saw ads for a movie with her and Melissa McCarthy.
So I never heard of the Heat that everyone thinks about when you say movie Heat.
Movie classic Heat.
So when people would refer to this classic movie Heat, I was like, I really didn't think it was that great.
It's like a heist movie with De Niro and Pacino and Val Kilmer and then like a wacky comedy with Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah.
They sound extremely different.
I still want to see Heat. I haven't seen it.
I haven't. It is. It's a hell of a heist movie. Mm. It's kind of a crime
epic. You haven't seen Casino either.
I have not.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, I should. I like Scorsese a lot. I just have not seen a lot of like mob movies.
I love mob movies.
Yeah, I love like Departed because Departed felt like more modern and everything. Mm. I feel like I just haven't seen a lot of movies about the like very, you know, like the way that when people say the mafia, it's like, oh, the Godfather type stuff, Italian mob stuff. I haven't seen a lot of that. I'd like to. I like Goodfellas a lot. Mm-hmm. That was good.
Mm-hmm. I love Goodfellas.
I'd watch Casino with you.
Yeah, it's a good one.
So we meet the weird Malkovich house, and basically BD Wong, Raptor Man, he decides, hey, I'll just see through the security system. I'll look at the thing, and that'll be safe. And he just dies. Mm-hmm. He goes crazy and kills Super himself. Dead. Yeah. And so they decide at some point they're going to go to a grocery store because they're running out of food pretty quickly. So it's just this thing. There are a lot of scenes like this where it's like, okay, here's our clever thing. We're gonna cover all the windows in newspaper, and that way we won't be able to see out, and we'll just use the GPS to kind of navigate our way there, and proximity alerts and all that stuff.
Right.
And it's around this time that I really started feeling a lot of similar feelings I had about that movie, A Quiet Place, where I felt like, it's like, okay, kind of post-apocalyptic, but set in recognizable environments. Mm-hmm. We have this one gimmick where it's like, okay, in this one, you can't look, can't open your eyes outside. Right. Where's Quiet Places, can't make any noise. And I honestly, just overall, I had a lot of the same feelings just in terms of like how much I enjoyed it. Right. And
yeah, it's like Apocalypse Light. It's like very just generic and, you know, doesn't really go deep into anything. It pretty much is, you could take it at face value. I mean, it is what it is. It's not trying to say anything or, you know, develop the characters in any meaningful way aside from like, oh, she was a sheltered artist and who was probably depressed and now she's has to be independent and stuff. I mean, like, it's so cliche.
Yeah, I feel like they give the characters just enough of a like spine of a character where it's like, oh, Malkovich is a grumpy guy who loves drinking, and you know, it's nothing really gets fleshed out. They have a couple quiet scenes with characters talking to each other, but I didn't feel anything for any of these characters really at all.
So we have the movie where you can't make any noise.
Yes.
We have the movie where you can't see anything.
Right.
So the next movie will be a movie where you can't smell anything.
That sounds not high stakes at all.
It like, seems like that'd be pretty easy.
Oh, too. These muffins, I can't smell them at all. Oh, God, the apocalypse is terrible. Know
what? In a world where you can't smell, then you wouldn't be able to really enjoy food.
Yeah, that's...
I know that from my father, who can't smell anything, so he can't taste anything.
He can taste two things, though.
Yeah, he can taste celery and, like, black raspberry sherbet.
That is sherbet, so specific.
Yeah, if anyone's listening who's, like, a doctor who might know what's going on with that, I mean, he's been to the doctor and he's kind of given up, but it's a really weird thing. Supposedly he got Lyme disease, and then ever since then, he's been unable to taste or, you know, smell. And it's a shame because he's a really good cook. And, you know, he's always cooking for us and he's still an amazing chef.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, just wanted to figure I'd mention that in the off chance that anyone's listening.
Or our doctor fan base. Yes, please tweet us or email us.
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if we had a doctor fan base. There are some really impressive people that listen to anything you're related to.
It's always surprising when it's like, oh, here's a nuclear physicist or someone who works on a submarine for the Navy or something. Yeah. It's kind of nuts.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So while they're at the grocery store, this is kind of what we learn when we learn what the bird thing is all about. And they're basically the walkie-talkie from Silent Hill.
Right.
It's like when bad stuff's around, they make noise.
Right. And they're really, it's just sweet. They're very cute.
There's some sweet birds.
Maybe they're parrotlets, I think. I don't think they're parakeets. I think they're parrotlets.
Oh, yeah.
Which are, like, slightly more beefy parakeets, and I think they're so cute.
They were some cute birds, and yeah, they decided to bring them back really to the cute. House.
Mm-hmm.
And after, you know, bullshit happens. Like, lots of bullshit happens in this movie. Little deaths and stuff. There's the fish finger Charlie or whatever tries to get into the grocery store,
oh,
and
right.
they wind up having to kill him. And it's just, there's so many scenes where it's like, oh, somebody wants to get in the house. Don't let him in the house. Mm-hmm. Oh, but somebody wants in. I think they need help. Mm-hmm. And then it's just lots of pointing guns and
right,
yelling,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, so, yeah, that one guy dies in the grocery store. And it's around that time that we learn, for some reason that is never really addressed or dug into, the mentally insane are immune from the vision
thing.
Of the thing, whatever it is. So I assume that's why the guy that was – that Charlie ended up, you know, sacrificing himself to save everyone from – I think that's why he was immune, because Charlie says he had, like, run-ins with the police, so maybe
right.
it's suggesting that he's a criminal, so he's insane. That's why he can't see – or he can't see the thing or whatever.
Yeah, they said it was some sort of, like, mental institution that, like, they all just kind of broke out amidst the apocalypse. And, like, this roving group are the ones that are immune, and we're definitely going to see them here in a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, one of them, which we don't know at the beginning when he shows up at the house. He shows up at the Malkovich house after the grocery store thing, and everyone's like, oh, he seems legit. He seemed fine and mm-hmm. everything. Turns out he's actually super crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You learn that because he has all these drawings of, like, Cthulhu-looking things, and he
right.
brings them out. And then he's just straight up, like, going around the house, like, tearing down all the newspaper, opening up the garage door while Malkovich is in there, like, basically dooming them all. And
he does this when Mallory, Sandra Bullock, and one of the other women in the house are in the process of giving birth. Conveniently, they
yes.
both go into labor at the same time. And it did that really stupid thing that like the water breaks in a movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I don't know a lot about how pregnancy works and stuff, but it's never like a ton of water that falls out. Like, these women look like they peed themselves.
Yeah, it looks like someone just went through a slip and slide in the kitchen when Sandra Bullock is walking around with this.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
Which, again, another Quiet Place thing. You know, in the midst of all this mm-hmm. thing, pregnancy,
yeah,
giving
yeah.
birth thing.
Oh, totally.
Totally? Isn't there?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad it's not just me that, like, the yeah. whole time I was like, this is a lot like a Quiet Place.
Right, right. And somehow these women, without any drugs, anesthetic or anything, are able to give birth very quickly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. While the guy's going
and very
around.
Like, there's, it's a horror movie. Come on, it's okay to have a bloody pregnancy.
Yeah,
you know, pregnancies are very bloody, and these women are in, like, pristine condition.
Yeah. Well, guys going around trying to kill people. A lot
yeah.
of people wind up dying here. Mm. Lots of people see the thing, and people are getting stabbed in the neck, and Malkovich gets stabbed, and all this stuff.
Right.
And he winds up getting taken out by this guy, Tom, who winds up being a love interest when we flash forward.
Mm-hmm.
Which also, we flash forward 5 years into the future, and Tom is just, like, ridiculously jacked.
I mean, but he's the same level of jacked that he was in the the setup of it.
Exactly.
It's
but
not
like
he got more jacked over time. He's just somehow maintained.
That's the confusing thing. Is I don't know where he's finding enough protein and workout equipment to be, like, maintaining that for
yeah,
5 years.
And on the same token, like, even despite the apocalypse and really trying circumstances and having to take care of two young, young children, Sandra Bullock still finds the time to put on makeup, mascara,
right.
fill in her eyebrows.
Yeah, priorities, right? And
yeah,
the apocalypse.
Amazing.
Which... she has time to do that, but doesn't have time to name the children in 5 years.
Yeah, there's – what is – I couldn't figure out the explanation.
They don't even try, I don't think, with that. So basically, when I say kids,
yeah.
So during the simultaneous birthapalooza there, Sandra Bullock gives birth to a boy.
Right.
And then the girl who winds up throwing herself out the window because she saw the thing
mm-hmm.
Gives birth to a girl. And
mm-hmm.
of course, Sandra Bullock decides she's going to raise both of them. But in 5 years, she just calls them boy and girl,
right.
even her own flesh and blood son.
It's very odd because the woman who gave birth to the girl before she gives birth was talking to Sandra Bullock and even says, I want to name her Cinderella and just call her Ella. So you already have a name, Can,
yeah.
that the mom wanted. So
exactly.
use that. And then the other one's your son, so you can name him whatever you want. And so, why boy and girl? Like,
well, this is how uncreative she is. Not only does she call them boy and girl for 5 years
yeah.
of their life, at the end, when it's finally like she turns a corner and everything's
mm-hmm.
fine, it's like, you're going to be Tom, like
mm-hmm.
the name of the last person she saw. And
right.
like, you be Olivia or whatever, which is just the name of the mom. It's like, no, she literally said, name her Ella.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Sandra Bullock's character is just, there's not a whole lot going on
and
with,
like,
this character.
Tom was alive for those 5 years also.
Yeah.
And he all of a sudden expresses, sadness about the kids just being named boy and girl. He was there for 5 years. I mean, he's played just as much a role in raising them as Sandra Bullock did. I think he should have a say in the name situation.
It's,
there.
It's 5 years later. He's definitely like the father figure telling them bedtime stories and stuff. And never once in those 5 years, like, hey, you want to give them names at some point? Like, I know we're in the apocalypse.
Yeah, I know we're in the apocalypse. And maybe Sandra Bullock can stop hunting around for 90s and putting on mascara and eyebrow filler, fucking Anastasia brow, whatever, and let shave off 5 minutes and then let Tom finish that fucking bedtime story for girl.
Yes.
Like, he was right at the end there. Just let him finish it, you jerk.
Yeah. I just wasn't a big fan of really. Tom was a good dude in this story, but like, there aren't a whole lot of likable characters in this. You got Machine Gun Kelly, Pete Davidson looking dude. Mm-hmm. You know, he's in it for some reason. His character doesn't. I think they steal the car at some point.
Right. And that we never learn what happens to them.
No. Like, I just didn't really care about any of these characters. Like, there was the novelty in seeing Malkovich in this thing. Right. But, like, I don't know. His character didn't do much.
Was the young girl. The one that escapes with Machine Gun Kelly, was she the girl from Ready Player One? Or am I thinking of someone else?
You know, I think I forgot 99% of that movie the second I left the theater, so okay. I don't remember.
I definitely recognize her from something. She is like a vague, like, she looks vaguely like Audrey Plaza.
Oh, yeah, I could see that. Yeah. Was she the one in Ready Player One that, like, the dude had to convince it, like, you're beautiful even though you have that dot on your face?
Yeah, this woman, like, the most, like, smoking hot 17-year-old has this tiny birthmark, and suddenly she's just completely undesirable.
Yeah, not sure if that's her or not, but at the end here, so all the crazies show up. We're, like, 5 years in the future, and, like, a bunch of the mental institution people come up, and they've got ill intent, and Tom fights them off before succumbing. Like, at one point, he has to take the blindfold off, and he succumbs to the thing. He kills the last crazy guy before shooting himself, and then it ends with, like, they heard that there is this safe spot. They heard a guy come on the radio and say, like, oh, if you follow the river down, there's a safe, we've got a compound here. My name's Rick. And so they throw everything into the boat, and they blindfold the kids, and she goes down the river and hacks a dude in the neck with a machete at some point, and basically the movie ends with them getting there. They get inside. It's a school for the blind, and so obviously all these blind people are kind of immune to the evil or whatever, and so they have this, you know, the maternity or the doctor that helped during the pregnancy stuff, she's there, and everyone's just like, okay, we'll start a new society here or something.
Yeah, I have some questions. I've never been to a school for the blind, but I imagine that they don't just look like the fucking Flatiron Building downtown. I imagine they have windows and look like regular buildings. Because I'm sure from time to time, someone who's not blind or someone who's a little blind will go there and be like, there's no windows or lights or decoration in this place. Like, are schools for the blind, do they not have windows?
I would have to assume they have windows.
And then also, like, so let's say they have windows. How would they know? Unless they encountered someone from the outside world who wasn't blind, how would they know to cover up the windows? How would they know where the windows are? How did the windows get covered up? Did the top of that, like, fucking courtyard get covered up?
Yeah, that, like, atrium was all, like, grown over by vines and everything.
I'm not doubting the capabilities of blind people. I'm sure they're probably better at everything than I am. But I think it would be a stretch to, like, have them fucking somehow float in the air. And, like, I think it would be a stretch for anyone to float in the air and patch up the top of the courtyard with newspaper.
I would imagine there would be, like, the school for the blind probably has employees that are not blind.
Well, how come those employees, in the course of covering up the
That's
thing,
would die? That's true. Why wouldn't they not be?
And then everyone, too, like, first of all, Rick should have probably shared the detail that, oh, by the way, at the end of the river, it's a school for the blind, so that she is a little more like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, because there's a lot of skepticism of everyone, obviously, in this movie due to the circumstances. Mm. And, like, I feel like that would have been like, oh, okay, that makes sense. We should trust this guy.
Right. And then naturally there are, like, thousands of birds there for some reason, but no other animals.
Yeah.
And I wonder, the school for the blind, I imagine it's not the size of the Imperial City in Oblivion. I'm sure it's kind of a building-sized building. And over time, if this is, like, the last bastion of humanity in this area, people will procreate. There's going to be less and less space. It's going to be a hellhole.
It felt more like a bird sanctuary. Like, obviously, because, A, birds are everywhere, but also that giant atrium with the, like, you know, when you go to the zoo or whatever and there's the bird box or whatever that you walk into, it always is some, like, giant, like, covered, clear thing with a bunch of birds flying around. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know why that would have been a school for the blind, necessarily, but, I guess it's a plot device. You got to get them to safety and have a happy ending somehow.
Well, I mean, not necessarily. I would have appreciated the movie a lot more if it was bald ballsy enough to have like a at least neutral or even sad ending.
Yeah.
So this movie was based on a book by this guy Josh Malerman. And in the book, can I just spoil the end of the book for you? In the end of the book, Mallory and the kids, when they get to the school for the blind, they're obviously blind people who are immune. And then the remaining people who are not blind, who can see, have like purposefully blinded themselves. So it's a much sadder, more like morose environment than this like happy-go-lucky, everyone seems to be super high place at the end of the movie where, you know, there's fucking dogs running around and people of every color coming together and their clothes is all clean and birds chirping. It's like, it's so fucking cheesy.
You know, if you like dark movies where people are intentionally blinding themselves, I've got a suggestion for you. It's called Event Horizon.
Oh, okay.
They're tearing their eyes out. That's what you want.
I love the idea of like a space horror. Yeah. I love that shit. But Event Horizon really did. It was not good.
Has not aged that well. But also I thought of that movie during this one because they were saying that when you see the thing, you see like your worst fears, your greatest sadnesses, you know, the biggest tragedy that's ever happened in your life. And like that was what the Event Horizon did, was it always played off your greatest fears and everything. Mm-hmm. And so I thought we were going to get something like that in this. Or at least I did wonder if they were going to do the thing where they show the thing and it's always lame. Right. In A Quiet Place, the things looked lame and they showed them all the time.
Right.
And Signs, when they showed the thing. Like, you know, so I guess in a way I do kind of appreciate that it didn't show the thing like so many movies do. But on the other side, like, it never really felt, like, I don't know, like, the threat was obviously severe in that all these people immediately kill themselves. But for the viewer, like, all we see is, like, some leaves, like, rustling around and then some birds chirping and stuff.
Right. And, like, I guess if it is Event Horizon-esque, it is in the way that, like, you hear voices of people that are familiar, you know, people telling you to take the blindfold off.
Oh, it's fine. Yeah. Go ahead and do this. Yeah.
Yeah. So we never really learn what the entity is, what its intentions are.
Yeah. Heavily hinted that it was, you know, demonic, whatever, religious something or other, end of days type shit. Mm. But overall, I mean, I think we were going into this wondering, like, because of all the buzz, like, either this thing is going to be super duper good or it's going to be super shitty and we're going to wonder why it's such a big deal.
I would have thought, I thought it was going to be like a polarizing thing where people are talking about it because it's so shitty that you have to see it or it's like legitimately good. And it was so mediocre.
Yeah, it's just kind of right in the middle. It's like, I think when it was done, you mentioned that, like, yeah, it seemed like, I guess it was okay for a Netflix movie.
Right. It's exactly what you would expect of a Netflix movie.
Yeah.
It doesn't really move the needle at all. It's a movie that you will not be thinking about after you watch it.
No. It's clearly, I know Pucca was Hulu, but like, it is definitely like better than like a Pucca or something, which if you heard that episode, that movie just sucked. That was the type of mediocre that I think you expect out of a lot of, like, original movies and stuff from these streaming services. But this was, you know, they had bigger stars. There was better production involved, for sure. But overall, just nothing about the story or the way things play out. I never really felt super invested in this.
Same, yeah. It was – I feel like we are part of the problem in having our podcast episode about this because it's, like, I feel the only reason why it is as successful as it has been, which I think you told me it has some, like, preposterously high number, like viewership numbers,
45 million accounts, which that doesn't even account for, you know, people like, you know, we've got numerous people on our account, you know, like that could be, there could be 70 million people.
Well, yeah, I mean, we watched it, but two people watched it then, right? One account, two people.
Yeah, exactly. So tons and tons of people watched it.
Right. And I think it's mainly just because of the hype around it, the meme stuff, people, you know, have been talking about it, and that's why. So it's fine. It's very, I would give it like a, I just hate movies that are like this because obviously it's, like I said, totally inoffensive, but it's just, it doesn't try to do anything. It doesn't try to push any kind of boundary at all. It doesn't leave an impression on me. It was just so, just there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I don't necessarily expect every movie to push cinema forward as an art form or anything.
Well,
like,
don't think every movie I enjoy pushes cinema forward. But, you know, I have a lot of movies that, you know, you just end up thinking about a lot and trying to figure out what was really going on. And, you know, that certainly wasn't the case here. I mean, even though there's a lot of things we don't have answers about in this movie, it's just not interesting enough for me to even try to, like, think, well, what could have been?
No, it's not a fun mystery. It's not something where we want to look up fan theories and stuff. Mm-hmm. It doesn't doesn't really leave anything right. going on there. So that'll be it for Bird Box. It's an all right movie
it's
if you feel
literally,
like watching it.
Guys, it was literally about a box of birds. I mean,
if you got 2 hours and you want to see about. People trying not to look at a thing and hanging out near birds.
By the way, those birds would have been super dead by the end of that.
They were falling around all the time. Going into the river and stuff.
Yeah, people were falling on top of that box. It just was like a shoe box. Yeah. They would have been, those poor baby birds.
That'll be it for this week. As always, we want to thank everyone that participates in our listener support feature. It really helps us out if you want to help out with $1, $5, or $10 a month. That goes right to us. You can go to panningthestream.com and click support this podcast, or you can just do a one-time thing and cancel. So thank you so much to everyone who supports us through that.
Thank you.
And also, if you want to get a hold of us, you can reach us at panthestream on Twitter, or you can email us at panningthestream@gmail.com. Give us feedback, suggestions, anything like that. And do you want to end this with some suggestions for the folks?
Sure. You want to go first?
Yes. I want to suggest a extremely strong suggestion for Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Ooh, it was so good.
It was a tremendous movie in that I know I speak for both of us in saying that we're not typically comic book movie fans, right. Or we don't even really read comic books or anything. But I heard all the hype for that, and I saw the Rotten Tomatoes score and all that, and mm-hmm. people talked about it in a way that made me think that, you know, I've seen movies like Spider-Man Homecoming and some of those Marvel movies that people said were really good, even for Marvel movies.
What was the one with Wolverine that people said?
Logan, yeah. Which, it was fine, yeah. So I kind of expected this to just be fine, but I'm very glad I gave it a chance because it is definitely one of the best superhero movies I've ever seen. It's incredible. Everything about it, from the story to, like, it has so much style.
The animation is incredible.
The animation, the way they move in all the, like, the comic frames and the text on the screen and everything. Mm-hmm. Like, the way they bring in all these different Spider-Men.
It avoids being cheesy.
Like, all the humor lands. Mm-hmm. Like, the casting is incredible with John Mulaney and Nick Cage and everything. It is, top to bottom, just a fantastic movie, regardless of how much you know or care about Spider-Man or comics in general.
It's a really, really cool story. And I was literally laughing out loud at some point.
Yeah, it's something special for sure. Very cool. Go check that out. Mm. Bonk, what do you have?
I second that recommendation. I recommend people check out a docuseries on Netflix called The Innocent Man. It's a true crime docuseries. I think it's like executive produced by John Grisham, that novelist.
Oh, right.
And it's kind of based on this novel that he wrote, a nonfiction book that he wrote in the 80s about these guys that were wrongfully convicted of these murders in the small town of Ada in Oklahoma. A very small town, but somehow it has three like massive books written about how fucked the justice system is there.
Oh, wow.
by different authors, because it's obviously like there's a lot of corruption and, you know, police wanting to kind of save guys that they know were guilty of some crazy shit. So it's one of those really frustrating, sad stories that you just leaves you feeling helpless, because it's like, well, you're supposed to be able to trust these people, and they just, like, at every corner, like, so many incidents where it's like unforgivable shit. It's really frustrating and sad, but it's a good watch.
Awesome.
Highly recommend it.
All right. There's a couple recommendations if you're looking for more stuff to watch. And we'll give you some idea of what we're going to do next week on Painting the Stream. If you want to watch the Twitter account, we'll give you a heads up on what to watch. Until then, Bianca.
Yes, my love.
Thank you as always for joining
me. Thank you for joining me.
Yes. Thanks to Tom Monder for the theme song.
Thank you, brother. Viewer, thank you. Or should I say listener?
There you go.
Unless you are viewing this, in which case, bravo.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know how you would have pulled that off, but I think it's worthy of a bravo.
Yeah. Good work.
And I hope you have a good day next week.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you next week.
I'll see you all next week on Painting the Stream.
Bye.
Bye, folks.